It's Friday, September the 29th, and this is Tips from the Top Floor, show number 153.
Here's another edition of Tips from the Top Floor, bringing you the best tips and tricks for your digital photography.
On today's show, we'll talk about Polaroid, how to get great shots when the weather isn't on your side, and who the heck am I?
And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
No, not Chris Marquardt. Actually, I'm John Arnold, but for some reason, Chris didn't give me an intro with my name on it.
Somebody get Scott Fletcher in here.
There's never a darn announcer around when you need one. Anyway, as you can see, I'm sitting in for Chris this week while he's away sunning himself in Ontario, California for the Podcast and Portable Media Expo and picking up his award. Nope, I'm not bitter. Seriously though, congratulations Chris for winning the podcast award in the education category for the second year in a row. That's well deserved, mate. So, while Chris is away, he's asked a few of us from the Photocast Network if we'll stand in for him, and in return we get to shamefully plug our own podcasts. So here goes with my first plug.
Hi, it's John from PhotoWalkthrough.com, the free Photoshop tutorials video podcast. This month on the show, I'm giving away a Colorvision Spyder 2 Pro to the lucky winner of our Photo Walkthrough Challenge. That's a really cool monitor calibration tool for any digital photographer. All you have to do to win is take a great photo inspired by the subject color. Head on over to www.photowalkthrough.com to enter, and while you're there, check out our free video tutorials that show not just how, but when and why you should use each Photoshop technique. So hurry up and visit photowalkthrough.com before the competition closes on October the 6th for a chance to win a Colorvision Spyder 2 Pro.
Yep, my show is photowalkthrough.com, and what I do over there is digital photo post-processing. So, any of you that want to improve your photographs after you've taken them as well as before, head on over and take a look. As I said there, we have a competition running right now, and there's still 1 week left before it closes. It's a great prize, so don't miss out on the chance to win. Okay, that's enough shameless plugging for now. Today I'm going to talk about something that's close to my heart, shooting photos in inclement weather. The seasons are turning and the days are getting shorter. What do you do when you want to go out shooting but the weather isn't on your side? Well, I've got a few ideas that might help you out. But now, here's another... useless fact of the day. And today we're going to learn about Polaroid. Many people associate the word Polaroid with a type of film camera that can develop its own pictures instantaneously. In fact, though, this is just an application of the word, which is a trademark of the Polaroid Corporation. Originally, the name applied to a kind of thin plastic material used to polarize light, which explains how it got its name. First patented in 1929, its crystalline structure allowed the light that was absorbed on the one side to be transmitted differently on the other side. Early on, Polaroid used this material to reduce glare in sunglasses, photographic filters, and windows in planes. And if your sunglasses have a polarizing function like this, you should have noticed how light looks different, especially reflected light, as you tilt your head from side to side. This is because you're rotating the polarizing filter in your lens, and the crystalline structure processes the light differently at different angles. Strangely enough, the Polaroid instant cameras many of us remember from earlier decades had little or nothing to do with this material or technique. They got their name from the fact that a great many of them were produced by the Polaroid Corporation. On the other hand, the polarizing filters used in photography today to darken over light skies are produced by a wide range of manufacturers. Interesting stuff, that. Chris calls these useless facts of the day, but I rather like them. I prefer interesting fact of the day.
So if you have anything in mind that you think would make a good, interesting fact of the day, you can contact Tips from the Top Floor by email. The address is info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com, or you can call us in the USA on 206-202-DSLR. That's 206-202-3757. In the UK, you can call on 07005 805 742. And from the rest of Europe, that's +44 7005 805 742. Or if you have a mic attached to your computer, you can leave Chris a message by using the My Chingo applet on the Tips from the Top Floor homepage. Okay, I think it's time we got into today's topic. So, you're all revved up and ready to go out shooting this autumn, but when you look out the window, it's grey, overcast, misty, or maybe even raining. As you've probably already noticed, I'm British. I live in the northwest of England, and one thing that this part of the world is famous for is the weather. Rainy, cloudy, or overcast weather is something I deal with quite often. So let's start with mist. Mist can often be hanging around in valleys in the early morning, and sometimes it seems to clump up in wooded areas too. But mist is a real photographic opportunity. Light rays shining between trees or buildings and through the mist can create some amazing photographs. And if you're looking at a landscape, you can sometimes get almost flat-looking layers into the distance. Combine this with early morning light's golden colour and you could have an amazing picture. Also, if the mist is leaving dewdrops on the landscape around you, that can make some wonderful macro shots. Shooting in rain, on the other hand, can be pretty tricky, and of course it can damage your camera if you don't take steps to protect it. But if you do go out in light rain or drizzle, then the first thing to avoid is trying to shoot the rain itself. This almost never works. Instead, take Chris's advice from way back in September last year on his vacation special show number 4. There he talked about not shooting the rain itself, but instead shooting the effects of the rain. That might mean reflections on wet surfaces, splashes as rain hits the surface of a lake or a puddle, or even the droplets of water left on the plants around you. The great thing about overcast days is that the dynamic range of the shots you're taking will be much smaller, and that means you'll be able to get more detail into your shots, and textured surfaces can be especially interesting when wet and reflective. So when it rains, you probably won't be looking for landscapes and wide vistas. Instead, look for shots that are closer by. Get closer to your subject, and you might even want to try some macro shots. Cloud can be a problem in the autumn. If you have broken clouds in the sky, then look for nice textures in them. In particular, look for clouds with some shape to them. Early morning and late evening light will usually make clouds look at their best, and often you'll get a wonderful wash of golden or pink colour that lights up the clouds from the side. Placing those kind of dramatic textured clouds over a wide-angled scene can create some wonderful photographs, and remember to look for foreground and middle ground subjects to place in the lower portion of your shot. But what about unbroken cloud? Sometimes your sky is just one solid mass of featureless grey or white. Well, on those occasions, it's time to stop trying to make a photograph where there isn't one. Instead of lamenting the sky, go looking for interesting features of the landscape around you, like broken gates or hedgerows, nearby buildings and so on. Anything with character and interest works, especially if it's unique to or characteristic of your location. Once you find a subject like that, try not to include too much of the sky if you can avoid it. Get up high and shoot down on your subject, or find a tree to frame your shot so that the branches hide the sky. And if you're absolutely stuck, then you could try making your subject a silhouette against the sky. Another tool that might help out if your sky is much brighter than the ground is a graduated neutral density filter. This is a piece of glass that has a darkened half and a completely transparent half, with a graduated bit between the two. Kokin and Lee both make good filters of this type, and you can usually find fittings for SLR and point-and-shoot cameras. What you do is line the filter up in front of your lens so that the darkened half covers the overbright sky and the transparent half covers the ground or your nearby subject. This can help bring the sky and ground brightnesses closer together, and in some cases can help reveal some of the texture in an overcast cloudy sky. So I hope that's given you a few ideas for shooting some moody or atmospheric shots this autumn. Remember to protect your camera when you go out, and you might want to bring a tripod or monopod with you if you expect to be shooting in low light. Beanbags can help too, but be careful they don't get wet. And most important of all, on a cold grey autumnal day, always finish your shoot with a nice strong hot cup of tea. Okay, that's it for today.
You won't talk about this, you won't talk about that, you won't say where it's at.
Don't forget to check out my show as well at www.photowalkthrough.com and also drop by the Photocast Network at www.photocastnetwork.com, where you can find links to a whole bunch of other really great photography podcasts. I want to thank Rebecca Davies and Matt Armstead, the Bacon Pixie, for show support this week. And I'd also like to say a big thank you to Chris for letting me come in and mess with his format. And finally, many thanks to you guys for putting up with me today. Have a great weekend and happy shooting!
Check out this show and more great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.